Welcome to the NFL Legends Podcast. I'm Aeneas Williams. I'm hanging out with the small guy that makes me look even smaller. His name is Delvin Tomlinson. All we're doing is talking about building PCs, talking about finance, talking about choosing the University of Alabama instead of Harvard. You might want to listen in. Man, we just getting into it, Delvin. I already feel like a little guy sitting next to you, right? Right, right. You know, talk to us about, as a current player, the first thing, who chooses between University of Alabama and Harvard? Tell us about that thought process.
I would say a nerd have that choice.
But you don't fit the qualities of a nerd, man. We don't see with your glasses and things like that.
Right? Blessed to have 20/20 vision, so I guess that's it. But just growing up, my mom always was focused on books. You know, grades have to be good for me to play sports. And football was always my first sport, but I knew if I didn't have good grades, I couldn't play football. So,
And mom meant that. She meant
that. Yeah, she meant that, yeah. So it was just like I always wanted to make sure I had good grades, and I always was super competitive, so I always wanted to be like one of the best players on the football field. So it just get carried over, yeah.
Tell everybody that's listening, when you're a great athlete, and obviously you got to be an NFL 1% high school players, what advantage does the intellectual athlete along with the physically gifted athlete have?
You understand the game. And when you understand the game, it doesn't matter how good you are. Like, if you understand the game, you have the potential to be a lot better than the person who's just gifted. Mm-hmm. But if you're gifted and you understand the game, you're smart and you pick up on things, like as a defensive lineman, you get all different types of blocks and things like that. You could see, okay, the Y is off the ball and he's looking down at me. It might be a wham block. Mm-hmm. Like, you see things like that. You pick up on the smaller trinkets over the years and just pretty much football becomes, it's another, when you get to college, you learn that football is another class.
Another class.
It's like it's a classroom when you're out there, and you just start to learn. You just learn, and you just you learn stuff, different things from different people. So when you get to college, you're in a whole vast pool of just different types of people from different areas. You can learn from everybody because everybody sees stuff differently. And I just treated it like it was another class for me.
D tackle, I say Aaron Donald. You say
Dalvin Thomas. But Aaron Donald is a freak of nature. I have a lot of respect for him because he's one of those people you can't mimic his game.
You can't?
No, you can't. Like, I can't.
Why?
Go. It's just like a high school kid. If you could be super gifted, but you can't turn on Aaron Donald film and look, I'm gonna do what Aaron Donald does. Because what Aaron Donald does might not work for you.
Gotcha.
You have to know yourself. That's the biggest thing,
gotcha,
too. People just want to be like someone else, but at the end of the day, you're you.
Gotcha.
You have to make a name for yourself and become, and everybody has their own identity. Mm-hmm. So you could take what he does and evolve it into what fits you. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing.
McDonald, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
End up signing with Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
The Bulldog Nation didn't get you?
I grew up a UGA fan and wanted to. I had like all the UGA stuff as a kid, a little helmet and everything. When I played park ball, I played for Georgia and I was just like, I'm going to UGA, I'm gonna be a dog, this and that. And it was just like, I don't know, it didn't feel right for me.
Didn't feel right.
It just didn't feel right.
Share that for those young athletes that may hear this podcast.
Yeah, because
what,
you know,
didn't feel right to you?
Just like when I went there, it was. They showed me the school, like they even showed me the school, like they showed me the athletic side.
Okay.
Just like the lockers, the football field, this and that. And you know, I already told you I was a big academic person.
Gotcha.
And I always dreamed that I wanted to be at UGA as a kid. And I was like, I'm going there. But when I went to the campus, it's just, I didn't get the feeling, like I didn't feel at home. You know, everybody wants to go to the big school just to say I went to a big school.
Right.
But when I went to Alabama, Coach Saban already knew I wanted to do something in business. So the first time I went to Alabama, I didn't even go to the football facility. I didn't even go to the football field to see Bryant Denny Stadium. Like, I was on a golf cart going to the business school, meeting with teachers and talking to them about the business program.
So when did Coach Saban find out that was your motor operandi, that was your driving force?
When Coach Smart came to my high school and just talked to me for the first time, it was like, you know,
The Georgia's coach now.
The Georgia's coach
the
now. He was the defensive coordinator.
Back then.
Yeah, he recruited me, and I told him, like, academics is big for me, and I was either thinking about engineering or business. But I loved that, and Alabama had a great business school. So I was like, if I come there, I want to meet with the business teacher. Like, just messing around and see if they actually would do it. And when I went down there, no football stuff, probably like 3 hours just talking about the academic side of the school. So I felt like when I just go in there, I just felt like, okay, they're serious about their student athletes.
Right.
So it was, when they put their student in front of the athlete, just like it's supposed to be, because one day you have to hang up your cleats. And I just felt, I got that much more respect for them.
You always hear about the five-star, you always, they always win, but you don't always hear what you just shared.
Mm-hmm.
That academic, that culture is also excellent sound like, mm-hmm. gave you an opportunity as it relates to academically as well.
Most definitely.
Can you talk about that?
Being there at Alabama, I remember you have position meetings with your position coach one-on-one, and he'd be like, hey, so why is grade so low?
One-on-one position coach asking you about grades.
Asking you about your grades, and we had like a little point system. You get too many points, like too many lates to class, or you miss the class, or you're just not doing good, like in the class. Like, so you might just get a text and be like, oh, you have a meeting at noon with Coach Saban. That's when you get scared.
Have you ever had one of those meetings?
I had one because I had too many points, I think, one time.
Okay, so you walk in, what happens?
And he just pretty much sits you down and be like, so what's going on? Like, he started talking about your classes, why you got points. Because you get your points down by making like A's on quizzes or tests.
Okay.
So if you get like 100 on the test or something, or 90 something, it'll take a points down off your point system. Mm-hmm. And he just says, so what's your game plan to get these points off? And, he'll sit down and talk to you about different classes. If classes you're struggling with, make sure they set up extra tutoring for you.
Right.
And stuff like that. So it's like just never an excuse not to graduate. Especially, I know at Alabama, like Coach Saban prides himself on like having a lot of student athletes graduate.
Wow.
So pretty much almost everybody that comes through that get a degree. And feel like if somebody leaves early, they always come back and get it. So pretty much you came there to get a degree and then play football. So at the end of the day, you have to get that degree at some point.
So a guy that plays for Nick Saban, Coach Saban, I want to make sure I put respect on his name. For a young man that's played for Nick Saban, mm-hmm. tell us through your eyes as a player, why has this program been consistently mm-hmm. with competitive excellence?
Because everybody that comes in, you know that the process works. It's all, like he always says, it's all about the process. It's not going to happen overnight. You don't win national championships at the national championship game. You win those in the spring runs it was doing in the indoor in February.
Gotcha.
So it's just it's the process. Everybody comes in, make sure, like the older guys, make sure that the younger guys know that you can't just do what you want. We have a way of doing things around here, and you have to do it this way or you can't be here. Like this point blank. Yeah, just everybody who comes in buys in. Now when you buy in as a group, a collective group, it's hard to be beat because you grind together, you have blood, sweat, and tears on the field together, you go through injuries together, you come back and work out together and after practice and things like that. And you keep going through that process day after day after day with each other. The games get easy. The practice is the hard part. So Saturday.
That's what I like to say, right? I like to say, in case of college football, mm-hmm. all Saturday game is more people watching what you do every day,
mm-hmm.
right?
And then sometimes
that's how you guys.
Yeah, hey, Alabama. Yourself. If you play good the first half, you get the second half off, and you get to rest your legs.
Right.
So it's just like, yeah, game day is half of off day. So that's how you got to see it when you go there, because when we pin those pads on that practice field, we working no matter what.
Gotcha. Like,
there's no off day or no easy day. It's a work day.
So you mean to tell me when y'all went into some of these games, y'all had an unspoken incentive that we're going to play so good in the first half that we're going to take it off, we'll have off in the second half, man?
Yes and no, simply because we had an incentive 1 year. And the thing is, when the twos and threes get in, they have to play just like us. He doesn't want any
drop-off.
And I remember 1 year, we was up like 50-something to like 3. And the twos and threes went in. So we're like, okay, we're going to sit over here and just relax. I think like half a quarter went by, and then they allowed, because we had the team on the 20 yards rushing. And then they went in and broke like a 45-yard run.
Uh-huh.
And Coach Saban started like yelling at everybody and pretty much made the ones get back in. And we were all like stiff and cold, and we were like, oh, man, we don't know how this is going to turn out. And then we were like, we can't even think like that anymore, because when you start thinking like we're going to play a half and then we're done, that's when you don't get trained for 4 whole quarters.
Gotcha.
And we learned it the hard way. And then, we just started saying it. No matter how many players it takes, we're going to get the job done.
Gotcha. So you major in finance. Mm-hmm. I have a degree in accounting.
Okay.
So we have some little numbers context here, right? So you have finance. and then you built a PC? What? What are we talking about here, man? What are you doing?
I'm a nerd. I'm a big video gamer. I love video games. Been there since I was a kid. My mom used to beat me in 2K and Mortal Kombat.
My
mom put me in the video games when I was young. And she used to like bully me in the video games. I'm a big video gamer now. But in quarantine last year, I was like, I always talked about I want to build a PC. And then I was just like, this is the perfect time to build a gaming PC. I just got all the parts. And then one night I just stayed up and taught myself all the parts and put it together and
taught yourself.
Yeah, and like 7 hours later it was
self-taught.
Dope. Yeah,
in one night. During quarantine. You were productive.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it took a long 7 hours. I tell you
but
that.
But mom put it on you.
Yeah, when I was a kid, she implanted it. See, just video game, and then video games is also like a good stress reliever for me. I used to be stressed out in class and school and football. Just go play some video games and just I'm reset already.
Kyler Murray, I think, just won. I think he won the Madden.
Mm-hmm.
Would you beat him?
I'm not a Madden guy.
You're not a Madden guy.
I don't like Madden simply because, like as I said before, you learn the game. I might call a play on Madden, and the person does the complete opposite. I'm like, that's not what I called. Realistically, that's not going to happen.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then you know people on the game, and you be like, I don't know if that person's going to do that. So it's just like different things about Madden. When NCAA comes back, I'm definitely playing that one now.
For you to play Madden, that would challenge your integrity.
Yes.
All right, so you've designed a PC. Mm-hmm. All right, put that check. Your finance, put that check. Your defensive tackle. Put that check.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you identify yourself? How do you see yourself? You see yourself as an artist, a gamer, a finance guy, defensive tackle?
All of it. I remember my high school coach used to always call me the Renaissance man.
The Renaissance?
Yeah, just whatever he put his mind to, he can end up doing it. So I just feel like if I'm interested in something, I just pursue it and get it done as fast as possible.
So how does seeing yourself like this, a Renaissance man, does that help, would you say that helps you be successful? Knowing it's not just football.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say when you have a better understanding of life off the field, it helps you on the field?
Yes, because it helps you not take any reps for granted. Like, you know, when you're playing ball, you know, you're just playing ball. You're living your life, but when you know that, like, say tomorrow may be my last play I could play, I'm not going to take this play for granted. I'm going to cherish every single play I get on the field. And I just feel like that's how you have to be in the NFL because, like, it's not for long for a reason. In a lot of cases where people don't see, a lot of people say, oh, I'm retiring, this and that. A lot of people don't get to say when they're retiring. Somebody else is telling you when you're going to retire. So if somebody were to tell me I have to retire tomorrow, I want to say I don't regret what I did on the field. I left it all on the field when I could leave it on the field.
When did you gather that mindset? Like this, every play, I know guys say it, but it's a whole nother thing to actually feel that. Like this could be my last play. When did that happen to you?
I would have to say college in Alabama, because I ended up tearing my ACL, my second ACL in college.
Second?
Mm-hmm. I tore the first one coming into Alabama, and then I tore my second one after my second year at Alabama. Just after I got back on the field, it was just like, I enjoy playing football with my boys and stuff. So it's just like, you know, I'm going to enjoy every rep I get out here with them because, like, the NFL wasn't guaranteed. It, like, very few people make it. So that wasn't even the main focus. I wanted to just, as long as I enjoyed myself out there, I felt like I was going to make it because I know I'm going to put everything into it. So
as long as you enjoyed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start enjoying it? When you realized it could go fast?
I always enjoyed it, but it's just I feel like it was just on a whole different level after I came off those ACL injuries.
Gotcha.
You know, when you're hurt and you're watching football and you're like, I'm supposed to be out there, that like it makes you like want to work so much harder.
Gotcha.
And then I realized all the work I was putting into it and like in the off season and things like that to get back on the field, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna enjoy every single rep I'm out here because I never know when I'm not gonna be out here again or I felt when I wasn't able to be out here, so I don't want to feel that feeling to be like, oh, I could have did more, I could have did this not to get hurt, things like that. So I'm going to enjoy every single second out here.
No regret.
No regret.
No regret. By the way, that's one of the reasons I am so glad I gave it everything I had. Because now at 53, you look back, there's no regrets.
Exactly.
And that's what I hear you doing. That's outstanding, Delvin. As we close it out, here are a few oddities. What's your favorite New York oddity? What? Tell me about New York. What's it like being there? You from McDonough, Georgia, man.
It was a shock when I first got up there. Because I know when I first...
What was the first thing? What shocked you? What was the first shock?
The cold.
How cold it was?
How cold it was. And the wind. Like, it was like, it'll be cold some days, and you'd be like, okay, it's cold. And then it's 20 miles per hour wind. And the wind just goes, like, I had a hoodie on because I didn't even buy a big coat yet. So I had a hoodie, and the wind just cut straight through my hoodie. And the wind, I was just like, okay, I can't do this. Like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm going to die up here. I'm going to freeze to death. That's how
look,
I felt.
Man, you've killed the fallacy that the big man loves cold weather.
But I do like cold weather. But the thing is, when that wind gets to blowing in the cold weather,
when the hawk blows,
it's a whole different beast out there. Okay. But I feel like I got used to it because I remember my rookie year. It was going into the week 17 last week. And I think it was like 10 to 8 degrees or something like that. And I remember Snacks and JPP, he was like, I was like, we wearing sleeves or what? Because, you know, you got to ask your vets and stuff. And they turned to Olivia Vernon was like, what are we doing, OV? And he was like, nah, we're going to finish the year like we started. Then when we started the year, it was like 70, 80 degrees outside. So they were like, no sleeves. And I'm sitting there like, oh, man, it's going to be a long night.
Wow.
And then we couldn't wear sleeves at night. And I felt like I matured a lot as a young man out there
you
in the cold. And
rite of passage.
Like now, when it's cold outside in the game, I don't wear any sleeves because I'm used to it now. Gosh. But when I first got up in my rookie year, week 8 was the coldest game I ever played in. And then every week after that was the coldest game I ever played in.
So here's a question. Where are you living? You're in Jersey or are you in New York?
Jersey.
You're in Jersey. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Delvin, this has been amazing, man. Thank you.
No, thank you.
And great job with the work that you guys are doing, man. It's always great when I talk to current players and have that mindset. I grew up in New Orleans with two older brothers. My dad's first college graduate on both sides of the family.
Okay.
So I started playing football my junior year at Southern, walked on.
Mm-hmm.
So football was never our focus.
Yeah.
Like kind of like when mom talked to you. And if you're going to play ball, you got to get the grades. And that's what my dad and mom did for us.
Okay.
So it's just great to hear these young legends in formation. So thank you for being with us, man.
No problem. Thank you.
This has been the NFL Legends Podcast. To provide feedback or request a topic for discussion, email us at nfllegends@nfl.com.